Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're confronted with doubt in today's gospel. On Easter Sunday, of all times when our gospel takes place, or at least the first part of it, confronted with doubt, especially in Thomas, the apostle who has now become famous for his doubting, he insisted that he wouldn't believe until he saw Jesus' hands with the nail prints and his side with the spear mark and put his hands in all of them. And yet Thomas was really no different than the other apostles. The other 10 didn't believe the word of the women when they said that Jesus was arisen and had appeared to them. None of them believed without seeing at least the empty tomb, and most of them had to see Jesus himself risen from the dead before they believed. Now, how on earth has the Christian faith spread across the world to so many millions of people who confess faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, crucified for our sins and risen from the dead, when his own apostles didn't believe the risen from the dead part without seeing? It certainly hasn't been by seeing. After Jesus ascended into heaven, the only other person ever to see him in the flesh was the Apostle Paul. When Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, everyone else has believed without seeing. Again, it doesn't happen by seeing. No one believes by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. And it's a miracle of the Holy Spirit, just as much as the resurrection of Jesus from the dead itself was a miracle. So faith in Jesus, true God, true man, crucified for our sins and risen from the dead, is a miracle produced by the Holy Spirit. And in this Easter season, in many of the Gospels, we'll hear more about the work of the Holy Spirit of bringing people to believe in the unbelievable. This whole story of Jesus, of the creation, of the prophecies of the Old Testament, of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, all of that being the work of the Holy Spirit. We'll hear more of it leading up to the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. For today, we'll spend just a few moments focusing on the epistle that you heard today, written by St. John, who also wrote the gospel that you heard. And there's much to explore in the epistle, but we'll focus this morning on the witnesses that God has left in order that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. The first thing that John mentions in the epistle that you heard today is overcoming the world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. John had talked about being born of God right away at the beginning of his gospel when he said that Jesus, the Word, who was with God in the beginning and who was God, came into the world and his own did not receive him, but to as many as did receive him, to them he gave authority to become the sons of God, so that those who believe in him are indeed born of God, he says. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The world needs to be overcome because God created the world, but the world denies its creator. The world rejects its creator. The world makes up its own stories and teachings and philosophies about who God is. The world makes up its own ever-changing moral code of right and wrong. The world does not believe it needs saving. The world, in its wisdom, crucified its own Savior and still refuses to believe that Jesus is the Christ, true God and true man, who shed his blood for the world's sins and who rose again from the dead, and who now calls out through the ministry of the Word, repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ, and you will receive the forgiveness of your sins and become children of God. The world calls God a liar because the world has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. The world is perishing and will be judged and destroyed. The world will spend eternity in hell, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you must overcome the world, or you will die with the world. And this is the victory, John writes, that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And when John speaks of believing that Jesus is the Son of God, or believing that Jesus is the Christ, he includes more than just acknowledging who Jesus is and more than just acknowledging that he rose from the dead, because even the demons acknowledge, believe in that sense, that Jesus is the Son of God. They called him that during his ministry on earth. Even the demons believe that Jesus is the Christ. They called him that too during his ministry on earth. Even the demons believe that Jesus rose from the dead and cower in fear of him. But John is talking about the victory that overcomes the world as trusting in this Jesus, true God and true man, who died for our sins and was raised again in order to apply his sacrifice to us, to apply his atoning blood to us so that we might be saved by it and enter into heaven by it. The victory that overcomes the world is to know Jesus as your Savior from sin, death, and the devil. But again, where does that faith come from, as most people don't believe that? Again, it comes from hearing. Hearing the divine testimony about Jesus, the testimony that God Himself gives. And John says there are three who bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. I'll tell you that specific verse, verse 7 of John, 1 John chapter 5, is hotly debated and has been for centuries. The King James Version of the Bible in English and the New King James, which we use, include that verse as I read it to you, because many Greek manuscripts do include it, but not all include it. And so many modern translations don't include that verse 7, or at least most of it anyway. It certainly gives us a very clear testimony of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Word, which is the Son of God, John's word for Jesus, the Son of God, from his gospel, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. That expresses the doctrine of the Trinity as clearly as any other passage in Scripture. And the beauty of the Christian faith and of God's passing on of the Christian faith to us is that our faith does not depend on any single doctrine of Scripture, so that if that verse is gone, we don't have the doctrine of Scripture anymore. Thankfully, the Scriptures teach the Holy Trinity in many places. But there is sufficient evidence that this verse belongs in the holy inspired Scriptures, and so we'll go with that, trusting it together with those other Trinitarian verses. And we'll give thanks for it too, because the testimony of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the very thing that has brought us to faith in Jesus the Christ and none other. Well, how do Father, Word, and Spirit bear witness about Jesus? Here we think of how God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has revealed Jesus to the world directly. In all the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Christ that were fulfilled in the life of Jesus, the hundreds of prophecies fulfilled throughout his life, from the place where he was born in Bethlehem to the day of his crucifixion and all the things surrounding it, to his resurrection from the dead. That alone, those fulfillments of prophecy in the life of Jesus, are the testimony of God. This is the one whom I promised to send, who has now come and given his life as a ransom for many and taken up his life again. That remains the testimony of God about his Son, the one he gave 2,000 years ago. We think also about that final testimony of God at the death of Jesus. St. John records all three of these things for us as Jesus died, that there were the Spirit and the water and the blood given as testimony by God so that we may believe in his Son. Well, remember what happened when Jesus died, and John puts it just this way. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And then the soldier pierced his side with that spear, and out poured blood and water. And John emphasizes it with, again, just those words. That in itself was a miracle that we don't think about as a miracle all that often, but we should, that somehow blood and water flowed out separately from Jesus' pierced side. It was a testimony of God from heaven that this Jesus was true God and also true man, the Christ who truly died for the sins of the world. That testimony about Jesus stands for all eternity, already given by God from heaven. But there are still witnesses on earth, ongoing witnesses. John writes, there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So not only was the Spirit, the water, and the blood a testimony at the death of Christ, but there is this ongoing testimony that God has given, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. They continue to testify that Jesus is the Christ, true God and true man, the Savior sent by God to be the world's Redeemer. What does that mean? How does the Spirit bear witness on earth that Jesus is the Christ? What did Jesus say to his disciples that you heard in the gospel today, on the day of his resurrection? He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Jesus instituted the ministry of the Word, which is also referred to by St. Paul as the ministry of the Spirit. He gave his apostles divine power and divine authority to preach the gospel that Jesus is the Christ. That is the testimony of the Spirit still sent by God into the world today. And he gave them divine power and authority to administer on earth the sacrament of water and the Spirit, holy baptism, which is also a testimony to Jesus as the Christ, who adds to the water of holy baptism his all-atoning blood, so that those waters truly do give new birth and a renewal by the Holy Spirit, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And Jesus also gave his apostles that other sacrament to administer on earth, the one represented by the word blood in John's epistle, the sacrament of the very body and blood of the Lord Jesus, which is a continual testimony on earth to both the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that his body and blood were given in sacrifice on the cross for our sins, and can only still be given to us to eat and to drink because he took up his life again and now lives forever. Those three, the preaching ministry or the ministry of the word, together with the sacrament of holy baptism and holy communion, are not opposed to one another. As John says, the three agree with one another. God gave these three witnesses on earth to bear the same witness that Jesus is the Christ, true God and true man, who died for our sins and rose again to apply his sacrifice to men by faith in his name, so that sinners may be saved. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Or as St. Paul writes to the Romans, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You see the miracle that God has done for you who believe. He has blessed you even beyond his own apostles. As Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. See the miracle that God has performed over the ages and still has performed for you, that he has brought you to faith in this Jesus, true God, true man, crucified and risen. How can you possibly believe such an outlandish story? Only by the power of God's Holy Spirit, who bears witness in all these ways. And of course, God isn't done bearing witness about his Son, and God isn't done performing this miracle of bringing people to faith in his Son, or of that other miracle of preserving people in faith in his Son. He will continue to bear witness to you and to those who don't yet believe, so that they, as John wrote in his gospel, may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. When you're assailed by doubt or uncertainty or fear, remember God's testimony about his Son. In the life of Jesus that he led, that he left and then took up again here on earth, and also run to God's testimony about his Son in this ministry of the Word, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.